one day, let's, with our Bibles open, let's commit this time of proclamation in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ is the source of life, of new life. Father, we thank you tonight that we're going to see from your word that the Lord Jesus offers us eternal life. And Father, we want to thank and praise you that Jesus has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. So Father, as we turn now to look more at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would pray, Father, tonight that you would speak to us, that you would point us to the Saviour. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, from this passage, we're going to see that Mary experienced resurrection reality. Mary saw the Lord. Mary experienced resurrection reality. Mary saw the Lord. I wonder, do you have any reason to celebrate this evening? Maybe you or your family are preparing for a celebration this year. A family wedding, the arrival of a child, a grandchild, or a great-grandchild. Today, you may be rejoicing. Maybe you will be rejoicing that you still have a number of chocolate eggs waiting for you at home, waiting for you to dive into. I have a wisp of one sitting at home waiting for me to dive into. I read an article this week and it stated this: every Brit eats 3.5 Easter eggs. I can imagine Cadbury's are rejoicing with this fact tonight. Or maybe Greed would say they wish it was 4 Easter eggs and not 3. What is currently causing you to rejoice tonight? Throughout the world today, on Easter Sunday, Christians will be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection event changed the course of history. The empty tomb was the beginning of a victorious new dawn. The empty tomb confirms that Jesus has risen from the dead. He is Christ the Lord, whose resurrection is the defeat of sin and eternal death, which separates us from God. As followers of Jesus Christ, we live tonight in the light of Christ's resurrection. Mary experienced resurrection reality. Mary saw the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel that you have no reason to rejoice this evening. If that is you, then you are in the same position as Mary Magdalene found herself in as she went to the tomb. Mary was a woman who was in mourning. She was full of sorrow and grief and pain as she had witnessed her Lord's death. Just 36 hours before the events of John chapter 20, Mary had witnessed Jesus being brutally murdered. John 19 and verse 25 states, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene." Mary witnessed Jesus been made to carry her cross. She witnessed Jesus been nailed to the cross. She witnessed Jesus being mocked. She witnessed Jesus taking his last breath. She heard Jesus cry out, "It is finished." She saw her Lord's side been pierced with a sword. John 20 and verse 1 tells us that on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Ben explained to us this morning why Mary went to the tomb. Mary's reason for going to the tomb was that she was going to put spices on Jesus' body. Mark 16, verses 1 to 2 tells us this. It states, "When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb." It may seem strange that Mary Magdalene was going to the tomb to put spices on Jesus' body. Since John chapter 19, verses 39 to 40 explains that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus already had prepared Jesus' body for burial. It states, "Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds worth in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews." The reason Mary may have been going to the tomb to put spices on Jesus' body was that Joseph and Nicodemus maybe did not get the job completed in time for the Jewish Sabbath. However, when Mary got to the tomb, she saw something unexpected. Mary found that the tombstone had been removed and the tomb was empty. What Mary saw was resurrection reality. However, it's clear from the passage that Mary misunderstands what is happening, what has taken place. She thinks someone has taken her Lord's body. She doesn't get it, that Jesus has actually, in fact, risen from the dead. Mary experienced resurrection reality. Mary saw the Lord. Let's work our way through tonight's text. John 20, verses 11 to 12 says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stood to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet." Mary is left by herself at the tomb. The disciples have went on home. But there's no corpse in the tomb for Mary to look at or to work at. Unlike John, Mary does not realise what has happened. In John chapter 20 and verse 8, John explains to us that when he enters the tomb, he sees and believes. What does he believe? He believes that Jesus has risen from the dead. Mary does not grasp that this is the case. Mary's thought is that someone has either moved or stolen Jesus' body. Mary is totally heartbroken. She's standing outside the tomb. Her world has fallen to pieces. She's crying hysterically. She's an emotional wreck. She just cannot believe her eyes. The tomb is empty. She looks into the tomb, but there's no corpse there. Maybe tonight you're sitting here and you're saying to yourself, well, this is obvious what's happened. Mary's just went to the wrong tomb. Is it not possible that Mary went to the wrong tomb? Well, Scripture teaches us tonight that Mary did not go to the wrong tomb. She knew the very tomb that Jesus' corpse had been laid in. Matthew chapter 27, verses 59 to 61 tells us that Mary knew the exact tomb that Jesus' body had been laid in. It says, "Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone on the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary was there, sitting opposite the tomb. Mary Magdalene was an eyewitness of Jesus' tomb being closed up with his corpse inside. Maybe you're saying to yourself tonight, okay, it was the right tomb, but surely it's possible that Jesus' body could have been robbed. Grave robbers did exist in Jesus' day. Well, tonight, can I ask you, what would someone do with a dead corpse? What would you do with a dead corpse? What good would it be to grave robbers? What good would a dead corpse be to you or I? It would be no good. Who would steal a body and leave the grave clothes behind? It was the grave clothes and the spices that would be worth a considerable amount of money. That would be like going to rob a bank and not taking the cash. Now, I'm not teaching you tonight to rob a bank, but if you're that way inclined, for goodness sakes, it's the cash, you know. If it was grave robbers, it would have made more sense to remove the grave clothes and spices from the body and to leave it behind. What were they going to do with this dead body? What good was it to them? Mary stood weeping uncontrollably at an empty tomb, wondering to herself, what has happened to Jesus' remains? Mary experienced resurrection reality. Mary saw the Lord. However, verses 11 and 12 tells us that as Mary stooped to look into the tomb, she sees two angels. Now, you would think at this very moment for Mary, the penny would have dropped. You would think at that very moment, Mary would have been saying to herself, this just is not normal. You would think she would be saying to the angels, why are you here? Where is the corpse? There's none of that. Now, unlike Mark's gospel, as we saw this morning, these ladies who was with Mary Magdalene was stunned and petrified of seeing these angels. Well, John doesn't tell us that in his gospel account. John's gospel account of these events would nearly make you think that Mary Magdalene wasn't even amazed or awestruck in any way to see that there was two angels in the tomb. Angels have turned up at key moments in Jesus' life and ministry. J.C. Ryle says this in his commentary on John's gospel about angels. He states, an angel announced the birth of Christ. Angels told the shepherds that Christ was born. Angels ministered to our Lord after he faced off the temptations of Satan. And now we see that angels have appeared on the day of our Lord's resurrection. Now, I don't know if Mary knew or realized that angels had turned up at key moments in Jesus' life and ministry. But we do. The scriptures provide us with the evidence of this. This should be a sign to us that a message might be delivered to explain to us exactly what is going on here. In verse 13, we see that the angels engage in conversation with Mary. It says, they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. We see that the two angels ask Mary, why are you weeping? The question seems as if the angels are reprimanding Mary. It is as if they are saying to Mary, There's no need to be crying. Instead, this is a moment of celebration. It's as if they're saying to Mary, do you really not get it? Can you not understand what is going on here? Do you really not understand that Jesus is risen? There's no corpse to find. He's alive. He is risen. Mary's reply to the angels tell us that as yet the penny still has not dropped for Mary. Mary still thinks there's a dead corpse to be found. She still thinks that someone has taken the Lord's body. She tells them that she does not know where they have laid him. Mary explains to the angels her misunderstanding of what is taking place. Mary experienced resurrection reality. Mary saw the Lord. As soon as Mary has explained her misunderstanding to the angels, verses 14 and 15 tells us that she turned round and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Question worth considering. Why does Mary not recognize Jesus? Why does Mary not recognize Jesus? Our text does not give us a certain answer in why Mary did not recognize Jesus. But there is a number of possibilities. It may be that Mary's eyes were blurred by her tears. Maybe it was that Jesus' body now looked different compared to how she last saw it when it was taken down from the cross. However, if that was the case, we must remember that Jesus still bared the scars in his hands and his feet of the nails that had been hammered into him. His side still had the scar from where the sword had been pierced in. Or maybe Mary was supernaturally prevented from being able to recognize Jesus, like the disciples were on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, verse 16, states about the disciples' experience. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. We do not know why Mary could not recognize Jesus. But the important point is this, the conversation that took place. Jesus asked Mary the very same question that the angels asked her. Why are you weeping? Jesus also asked her, whom are you seeking? Mary's reply to Jesus tells us that she continues to misunderstand. She doesn't get it, that instead of weeping, she should be celebrating. Jesus is standing right in front of her. He is alive. Mary is still looking for a corpse. She seems to be so blinded to the reality of resurrection reality. The text tells us that Mary thinks that the man she is speaking to is the man who may have moved and taken Jesus' body. She thinks he is the gardener. She thinks this man might be able to tell her where to find the body. Mary experienced resurrection reality. Mary saw the Lord. Verse 16 tells us what happens next. It says, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus calls her by her name. And that very second, she knew for certainty that the person she was speaking to was no gardener. It was her Lord. It was her teacher. Mary's world is turned upside down. Does this not remind us of Jesus teaching in John chapter 10 when he calls himself the Good Shepherd. Verse 14 states, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Verse 27 states, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. John explains to us that from this moment, Mary's grief turns into hope and rejoicing. She had met her Lord face to face. Can you imagine how Mary must have felt? Verse 17 tells us that she must have clung on to Jesus. Her weeping of grief turned into tears of joy, excitement, and disbelief. She holds on to Jesus. She doesn't want to let him go. She lost him once, and she does not want that to happen again. Mary thinks, I have my teacher back. Now things can go back to the way they were before the crucifixion. But verse 17 tells us that Jesus informs Mary that this is not going to be the case. Jesus says, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary must have been saying to herself, what on earth do you mean by this, Jesus? Jesus is explaining to Mary what he is still yet to do. He has to ascend to the Father. Jesus' kingship is declared by his resurrection, and his ascension to the Father is his coronation. And to this day, he remains with the Father. Mary doesn't understand that her relationship now is different to what it formerly was. Jesus' earthly ministry is completed. Jesus tells Mary that he is going to his Father and to her Father, to my God and to her God. And this Jesus is explaining to Mary that he is returning to where he came from. Jesus wants Mary to stop clinging on to him, but instead go to the brothers and to tell him that he has risen, that he is returning to his Father as he has promised. This is the first time we see Jesus calling the disciples his brothers. This is the first time that we see Jesus saying that God the Father is the disciples' Father. What Jesus is saying is this, that through his death and resurrection, he has made it possible for the disciples and us to become sons and daughters of God. What grace and mercy Jesus has shown to those who fled and left him the very moment he was arrested. Verse 18 tells us that Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he has said these things to her. Mary experienced resurrection reality. Mary saw the Lord. How does Mary seeing the risen Lord impact our lives tonight? For John, Jesus' resurrection was the greatest of all his many signs, as it proves with 100% assurance that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. John believes that Jesus Christ was raised to life. John believes and knows that Christ offers us eternal life as he is the source of life. Tonight, we need to place our trust and faith in the thing that all the evidence points to. As followers of Christ gathered here this evening, we do not celebrate a myth. We do not celebrate a fairy tale story. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which has solid, factual, historical evidence, which after 2,000 years has still not been proved to be untrue. As followers of Christ, on this Easter Sunday evening, allow the solid, factual, historical evidence of Christ's resurrection to reinforce your faith in Christ alone. When you have doubts, sit down and read John chapter 20 and take in the proof. Take in the evidence which proves that the resurrection really did take place. Don't be like Mary. Don't misunderstand the reality that Jesus is our risen, conquering King. We gather today to celebrate certainty, reality, resurrection, reality. Maybe you're here this evening and you never have considered receiving Christ. You may have never considered that the evidence proves that the resurrection really did take place. Can I ask you tonight, can I challenge you tonight to weigh up the evidence for yourself? And if you can prove that the scriptures are wrong, well, can you explain to me how John and the other gospels have got it so wrong? Prove to me that the resurrection did not happen. And if you can't do that, then can I challenge you to ask yourself the question, why am I refusing to accept the truth? It was vital that Jesus Christ rose from the dead to confirm the sufficiency of his sacrifice. How else were we going to know that Jesus' death was enough? Through the resurrection, we can be assured that sin is dealt with. Jesus Christ is raised for our justification. He was risen to set the divine seal on his sacrifice. And this causes us to do as Mary did when the penny finally dropped. Rejoice. Through the resurrection, we can rejoice. As the resurrection of Jesus Christ provides us with hope, certainty, and security. This evening, we have resurrection reality, but we also have a relationship that we could never have had if it had not been for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we as followers of Christ have received the blessing of knowing God as our Father, and to know Jesus Christ as our elder brother, who is our high priest, and tonight who is interceding on our behalf to the Father. This should call us to do as Jesus commanded Mary to do. Jesus commands Mary to go and tell the disciples. Can you imagine how she must have ran to tell them the glorious news that Jesus had risen? Can you imagine how she burst in through the house to tell them, out of breath? Mary was not to keep the resurrection news to herself. And we as followers of Christ tonight are called to go and to give the reason of why we also rejoice this Easter Sunday evening. Amen. Let's pray.